How you doing, Keith?
Thank you for asking. I'm doing all right. Thank you very much.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, this movie Nomadland won a bunch of awards last night, and it's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's
probably
poor
great.
Keith.
Yeah, poor me.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. What is this? Watch it. She didn't even watch it. Poor Keith. Yeah, maybe. Maybe poor me. Maybe.
Maybe.
Holy shit. Ready when you are.
All right. me. All right, here we go. Hey, last weaklings. How are you doing? Guess who's back? Your second favorite host of this show. Probably third if you count the people who did it before me. So let's just stick with second for now of the current host. It's your boy, Rod. I am here with my favorite people, your favorite people, the people who we do the show for. It's Keith and Hamda. What's up, y'all?
Hey.
Woot woot.
Glad you can make it.
Okay. Thank you.
We know it's a rhetorical question, so don't pretend like you're waiting for an answer. We're not falling for it.
That's true. It would have been weird if y'all didn't show up, though, right? Just last week on Keith and a Girl, just me. Oh, man.
Actually, that would be funny if it's just you and Karen just talking about us, and then we have to, like, as soon as it gets uploaded, we quickly listen to it. Like, how do we do? Ah!
They disagreed. I wish I could have defended myself. Oh, man. It's been a busy week, all right? But thank God our national nightmare is over. Lady Gaga got her dogs back.
Yeah. Shoo.
Yeah.
She y'all did? Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we were all worried about it. We wouldn't have been as worried if it was cats, obviously. But since it was dogs, everyone was more concerned for the dogs than even the dude that got shot.
Yeah. You know?
Thank God.
Now, somebody said they found them tied to a pole. Here's the dogs. I assume got the reward, and somehow that's the end of it.
$500,000 reward.
Yep. Really? And, with no questions, that really happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The attempted murderers are still on the streets.
Suspect. So. This whole thing has suspect, just all over it. It is ridiculous. I don't...
Did you know she never got a ransom note or a request for money?
So like, she just wanted to kill her dog walker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is so fucking ridiculous that he threw his body in front of the dogs. That's some next level shit that you need to, I think, check yourself.
You know, if I was writing the TV show version of this, the Law and Order, that is the twist, right? That she really just wanted to kill her dog walker. She put a hit on him and pretended that her dogs were stolen.
Yeah,
and then that's what it was.
It's a lot of bullets for dogs. Yeah, and then there's a lot of like there's a lot of light on it. Like it's mm-hmm. there's a light shining on it, and yet it's so vague and. What could have happened? It's so fucking weird. And then where is this dog walking that Lady Gaga is not in some community that has security and shit? Like people could just be coming in with a gun, just walking around. Where does Lady Gaga live? Maybe I'm wrong. She lives down the block. Where's the dog getting walked? What is happening?
Yeah, These are the hazards of fame, y'all. These, this is why I never want to be famous, you know?
Could you is that why?
If someone, yeah, it's really the dog walking thing. Could you imagine if someone would have stole Hugsy Malone mm-hmm. and then, you know, and obviously shot your dog walker, how you would deal with that? It's too much.
It is too much. I don't even to think about it.
We had this one guest who was a dog walker, and he's walking a little baby dog, like one of those little ones, and he's a regular walker for this person and happens to walk by a bigger dog, and the bigger dog just ate the little dog on a walk. Okay, see your eyeballs, how they just came out? In the story earlier, the dogs were just taken, mm-hmm. and a dude was shot.
Let me tell you something, though.
Multiple times.
If that dog walker worked for Lady Gaga... You go out, you try to get a gun, you shoot yourself in the chest, and you go, I can't believe what happened out there. You don't come back empty-handed to Lady Gaga.
Oh, man. Shout out to the woman that won $500,000, though, because you just randomly saw some dogs.
Yeah,
took
right.
them in, you know, you look
on. Is that what happened?
Probably, That's what she's saying. You look on the news, there's a $500,000 reward, and you're like, I'm going to take these dogs to the police station.
So she said she found them tied up to the pole, and she was the first person who walked up on A, just dogs without their owners, and mm-hmm. B, knowing it was the dogs that are on the news about having someone killed. She's the one, and she's like, oh, I guess I know to take these to the police. What people do when they find dogs in their neighborhood.
Even worse, if I would have walked by those dogs, I would have left them there.
Sure.
Because I would have just been like, I don't know whose dogs those are. They must be coming back. And obviously, those aren't the $500,000 dogs. I would have walked right by them. And then some other lady would walk right behind me and made $500,000 that I could have made. Lucky.
And then what do you do? You just paid $500,000. Your guy got shot in the chest. He's alive. And then it's like, okay, so anyway, you know they still need walked, right? So go.
I need to know how much the guy in the hospital is getting, because the dogs are getting $500,000. Okay. So their meals are probably better than his, let's be honest. Okay.
Right.
Their puppuccinos are better than his cappuccinos. I think we all know this. So what does he get for being shot for the dogs? Cool.
A song. You get Shallow. She sings it right to you.
She'll perform it at your wedding.
Yeah.
Okay. For free. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the least she can do. You almost die for her dogs. Have you ever seen the show Central Park? It's on Apple TV. It's made by the people who made Bob's Burgers. anyway, there's a very rich woman there as a character, and she has a dog that she treats like, you know, better than her person who's her assistant and friend. And I just wonder if that's what it's like for the dog walker of Lady Gaga, where it's just like, here's your, you know, $13.50 an hour. Thank you. You can leave now. And now my dogs get their jacuzzi. Go get in the jacuzzi, dogs. You know, here's your catered meals.
And there was someone on the forums that talked about that they knew a dog walker for Lady Gaga, like someone in the past. And apparently they get paid well and treated well and whatever. But you have to know that you don't get paid and treated well as well as the dogs. You just do. It's just a fact of life. We don't either, and we won't either. I don't know if in our lifetime, maybe if we combine our finances in a few years and make some good investments, but no. We're eating dog food, and that dog is eating filet mignon every night. If he wants, and she knows if he wants, she knows.
You know the dogs are spiritually vegan.
And then the worst part is that she puts out a reward for the dogs. No reward for the attempted murder. Like,
right.
It's just like, no questions asked, just bring my dogs back. This guy's like barely hanging on to life in the hospital. And she's like, the police will probably get that. That's like, oh, got it, right? Be good.
Rod, the dogs were brought to justice. That's all that is. Okay. This guy is just living his life. Like, you know, sometimes people react to traumas in their life by getting mad at their dad. Sometimes they kill dog walkers or attempt to kill them, but you know, he's on a different path now. The dogs are back.
They're like, Gaga, do you want to say anything about the dog walker? She's like, I can't micromanage everything.
I will say this though. I get it finally. Why people were so mad at Michael Vick. I get it now. Okay. I didn't understand. It took a long time. Mm-hmm. For me to get, but listen, if a motherfucker gets shot in the chest and people are like, what about the dogs? Then that, okay. All right. I understand. Let's get into this week's shows, you guys. All right. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Episode 3376. Please Don't Stop the Music, with Pippa Max, who was the person who got to decide who was on the show, the super fan. Which is, I'm sure, a lot of people's biggest wish, you know? And mm-hmm. I love her inspirational message. This can be you too. Start saving now, you know? Put that Starbucks cup down once a month or whatever. And then when it's time for the annual marathon, you know it's coming, right? Now you get to make that. You get to be the big boss and be like, I get to pick the lineup of people, and her lineup was awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. You got Matt B, Xerxes, who we don't hear enough from. Okay. I feel like Xerxes, I mean, some of it by his choice. He's a man of few words, but also because he's the one who put me on to Nathan For You, and it's the greatest TV program in modern history. I binged almost all of it in about 3 days. He was so right. So hopefully if you're listening to this, this episode of last week is brought to you by Nathan For You on Hulu.
I will. So. I can't get into the show. I love hearing the giggle, and I love that you watched it because he got to come on here during the mic check, and just you guys were just back and forth giggling your faces off, and that is so, so sweet. I can't get into it because it's so awkward, but it's the most perfect awkward show ever. So if you're not into that awkwardness, but you still want to watch it, watch the Starbucks episode because I think it has the least amount of awkward with a lot of return anyway. I do sound like I'm doing an ad. I am not doing an ad, not for Hulu, not for Nathan For You. This is just my experience in life right now.
Oh, it's so good. There's a genuine sweetness to it because he's Canadian and they can only be so mean. You know, like, they're like, yeah, I'll be an 8 out of 10 mean.
Yeah, it's always like, oh my God, is he like the meanest person? No, he's not even close. Wow. Okay. He brought that back. Amazing.
And then we had Jesse Jollis and Shalewa Sharp. I feel like Shalewa Sharp was the MVP of this show. Like everyone was good, but she was like LeBron James, just passing the ball to alley-oops and then coming in and dunking and all the other basketball things that people did that.
I feel like she found a little bit of a rhythm in this one for sure. Mm-hmm. I think it's funny because during the marathon, she was the one that behind the scenes said, you know, they're trying to get a story from her. And the quote that we got from her was, I don't know, nothing's happening in my life. And I'm surprised they even keep asking me on. I'm like, we'll go from there. Thank you. Okay. But she does know pop culture really well, music and shows and stuff. So I think we were hitting her stuff and she was on fire.
Yeah. The thing about Shalewa is like, she's already heard of a lot of the stuff. And I think in her mind, she's like, oh, there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to say. But then as you bring up each topic, it's like, oh, I know something about this. Like Keith is explaining it and she's like, no, let me explain it. This is what happened. You're like, oh, you're not. You're like me. You're like a fake introvert. You know, you're like, I don't want to talk to anyone unless you want to talk about this thing.
Anything, almost. Right?
Of course, I almost didn't listen to this one because it was obviously just a segment on the marathon. You know, I prefer not to even check, but it's my job. What more content? No, thanks. Has anyone ever asked y'all for someone that you absolutely wouldn't have back on the show? Like they just were like, oh, my favorite person is blank. And y'all like, we don't fuck with them. What are you doing?
Well, I've had. Of course we have. And
first
even
of
like
all, I've had someone send me. I asked for 5 people because it could be that one's not available or one we're not talking to. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I've had like all 5 or like, come on, try again. I'm not having Pat Dixon on because you think you're cute. It's not fun like you think it's going to be fun.
Right. I was actually going to bring him up because during this show, we talked about the Woody Allen and Mia Farrow thing. Mm-hmm. And when we were talking to Pat, it was close to when I think he kept getting worse and worse sexually creepy. And I noticed, and I really did notice this. I'm like, you are oddly defending Woody Allen. This is before I was like, I got to cut this guy out of my life. And obviously it wasn't just his thoughts on Woody, although that was odd. Like, Woody took a lie detector test, Keith. I'm like, yeah, from his own lawyer. What's the difference? I'm like, you're not a human being that walks around really thinking that if it happened to you. What's the fucking difference? You weird liar. You know, he's one of those people that like, you're supposed to follow the debate rules. Like he brought up what's the difference that you have to engage. And I'm like, the end. And that's a real tight point at the end. And then people would write, like, well, you lost that debate. I'm like, I hate the word debate. We're not in college. It's talking, and I won't engage stupidity. But anyway, then, of course, we hear real horrible things about Pat, and we're not going to talk to him again. And then people would write and be like, come on, have him over and talk about it. I'm like, what lives do you live that you let poison into your life, drink it, because what?
What? And it's weird because it's a reward for being like a super fan for the show. So it's like, I love y'all the most. Go talk to the people you hate. Come on, get them all on the same show. I would love to hear the people you can't fucking stand and you in a room for an hour. So great for
me. And I get it, because there are a lot of people who say when I fight with someone or when Keith fights with someone, it's the best. Sometimes they say when we fight with each other, it's awesome. But it's so different. It's not, I'm not trying to, it's like a fun discourse or argument, right, or silly or stupid. This is not like, I don't know, I get like why having Keith's dad, for example, would be great on the show, because we just want to hear the responses like from him. But to constantly do, no, you know what? Bad example. I want that. I'll take that. Yeah. Because I'm thinking, like, if my parents ever agree to be on the show, they're on. It's on. Fantastic. Right. But it's different. It's different. Also, like, why would these people answer our texts? Can you, like, at least recognize that it's not one way? Like,
right, right.
We're not like, okay, we're ready. And people who we haven't spoken to or had this, like, argument with, they're like, oh, that sounds great. Let's do it.
And it's like you're coming to them with a request. You know what I mean? So it's like it's already putting you at a weird power dynamic of, like, Pat, listen, we just would love for you to come back on the show. It's like, oh, who wants to do that?
People cannot get enough of you. I can, but like, I just do what people tell me to because they know better.
I don't know if I can explain this, but do you know, you guys know these people that think rules should be rules? Like, you know, you said a producer for the day can have their guests on, so you do have to honor that request. It's like, what are you talking about? Okay, I don't agree that this person should be out of jail, but rules is rules, yes, and this rapist should be free. If, you know, like, what are the people don't mean what they're saying. Think about it. If it happened in your life, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. We used to have a Facebook group that we ran, which we handed over to our fans because I fucking hate that kind of shit, but people would do things where you're like, hey, don't be a dick to each other, you know, try to be nice or whatever, disagree, you know, but keep the name calling shit out of here because, you know, it's going to get ugly and you fucking come here every day, you know. Right. So, you know, now there's a thing. And if and then people would have a disagreement or something. They come to me like I was King Solomon, like, fix this. I'm like, you're 45. If you can't resolve this in your own 45-year-old life, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do, right?
Right.
But there would be times when someone would, like, go right up to the line. It was like, oh, I called that person a Mitch or something. You're like, well, what's a Mitch? What is that? Well, I'm not calling them a bitch. It's man bitch, and it's like a thing that I combine. And I'm like, but what are you doing? You're basically going, but it's not against the rules. Mm. You know, I went right up. I didn't break the rule. It's like, you fucking know what you did. And now there's a whole fucking problem.
It's also, it's worse. It's like, you are saying bitch. You're acting like everyone's stupid but you. You're also saying that bitch is only a term for females. Like, right. I get that it's a female dog, but I don't think we're using it for female dogs. So this, like, there's, so now you've layered your shit. And you go, what did I do?
Right. You know, okay. And what did you think would happen after that? You know, that's always what I want to just. And then what were they supposed to do? Just go, oh, I'm just a man bitch. Thank you for correcting me. You know how I am as a human being. I won't have any response. This is the right thing to do. I did wonder about that. But this crew was so great. And the chemistry was so great. Was there anybody that they wanted on that you weren't able to get on? Have you ever had that where people are like,
of course.
Yeah.
And that is really why I ask for more than one person, because it is possible that only one person would be available. So yeah, her list was longer, but you know, how many people?
Yeah. I love Keith's fake ads for the theaters. You know,
we gotta, so come on, support your local AMC. Come on. It's for your mental health. Hey.
I got an email the other day. You probably got it too, Keith. That was from the Run P app. That was like, hey, update the app. And I was like, I mean, I'll do it for prosperity state. I'm clearly not going to be using this bitch. Right. So, I mean, okay.
Are you going to go to the theater, Keith?
Yeah, but I always went during weekdays anyway. Like at a weird time, I was always by myself. And
so you'll be able to distance
very easily. Yes.
Yeah, I do that too. When I used to go to the theater, ours are closed here in North Carolina. They may be opening them now. I don't know, but here I would go on like a Friday morning at 10 a.m. or something. And right. A couple of times a motherfucker would sit next to me in the reserved seat. Like, what? You should go on Craigslist for the platonic friend option or some shit. This is not for company. I didn't go here because I need human contact. I went here to watch a fucking movie by myself.
They sit down. I got you, buddy. Hey. Fancy popcorn.
And I sit purposely in the worst seats. So I know you did it on purpose. Like, I sit in the second or first row in that little love seat thing by myself. Or if I'm with Karen, obviously we share it. But, like, a motherfucker got that ticket.
Did you stay together?
Man, so this is before the pandemic, obviously. I think there was about 5 minutes of me going, nah, in my brain. Like, this motherfucker not really finna sit here the whole time. No,
he's going to turn his head to the right. Oh, shit. Sorry.
Yeah. It's like I'm talking to myself like an adult. Like, am I okay to be upset? I can be mad at this, right? This was some bullshit. Don't they show the reserved seat when you buy your ticket so you knew a person sat here and then you sat here anyway? And then I was like, wait, I'm an adult. I can move. So I just got up, moved to a different seat. No one came in to get that seat because these are the worst seats in the arena. Like, why the fuck would anyone come? Why did he come? And it was fine after that.
I'll find myself on the subway. People will sit close to you. And once in a blue moon, they're maskless or this kind of thing, or they start coughing. And I'll get up and move. But whenever I get up, I always act like I'm looking at a map or an ad on the side of the cell. Like, just looking over here and okay. And because I don't want to get stabbed. I don't want them to take it personal. So I'm like, oh, okay. So the train is, oh, I see. It's moving. Okay. Now I'm going to sit over here. I mean, I've already done that. Yeah.
I've done that. But what I like, because I don't know how to fake that at all, you will be watching me go like, so this is where the, isn't it interesting? We have this on our phone, but if it's the same and accurate, we all do. So in saving everybody their dramatic, you know, theatrical, whatever, I actually get off the train and get on the next. So I quickly get out and come back in the next car. And then I hope that they don't see me going into the next car.
Right.
I've done that where, like, when I used to commute years ago, every once in a while, I'd run into somebody that I used to know, like from high school or something, where obviously nobody gives a shit. And I'm like, would love to talk, but this is my stop. And there's nothing wrong with them. I just don't want to do this right now. And I would just get off and get back on another car. And I would like to think in my heart of hearts that they're like, thank you.
Because it could, that's the thing with the mask people, it could be a coincidence that they're not wearing a mask, or it could be them signaling to the world, like bees, how they wear yellow and black, like, I will sting you. I am crazy. I'm not wearing this mask on purpose. Right. I find it offensive that you would protect yourself from me. And yeah, you get it. You're one of these articles we read where it's like, a man got up to change seats on the subway and was stabbed to death in Brooklyn. You're like, fuck, what happened? What could have possibly been the thing? He didn't look at the map. He made the move without first hedging his bets and looking at the map.
Somebody challenges me one day. Quick, what'd you just read on the map? Oh, fuck. There's more to the city? I don't know. By the way, we talked about the Golden Globes on today's Keith and the Girls show. Mm-hmm. And in this show that we're covering right now, we talked about Khenda Singh, I Care a Lot. The actress won Best Actress, Khenda.
Oh, I care a lot. Oh, okay. Oh, what?
Why does everyone that watched that movie have that reaction?
You don't understand. It is insultingly bad. Because it wants to be good so bad. It's like, this will blow your mind type shit. And it's like, holy shit, did you just make that decision? And that's every scene. Like, did we just really watch that scene? This is what you think. And they think, you know, they think it's deep. You know, they think it's very badass. You know, they think they're forward thinkers because of, like, there's a lot of female characters and there's a lot of, like, men try to whatever. But, like, we're blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is not a thing. This is not a thing.
Is it funny?
No. No, and it doesn't try to be, and it's not supposed to be at all.
I think it is.
She won for like best comedy, though, right? Yeah. Wasn't it up for best comedy?
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill myself.
Did you see it, Keith?
No, I did not.
Okay, but everyone, but I don't know if you're noticing it too, but everyone I've seen that's seen it has this reaction when you're like, yeah, it won for like she's going for like best actress in a comedy. They're like, what the fuck was funny about
it? What was comedy? Which scene was supposed to be funny? No, I'm thinking of the scenes. I remember them.
It's supposed to be a dark comedy.
It was hot. It wanted to be so dark. Oh, it was so pressure and wanted to be dark. Even when they, like, spoiler alert, killed people, I'm like, this makes no sense. Mm-hmm. This makes no sense. Not even in the fun, cool way where, like, this will make sense later. This is the most... absurd. You're not putting any of the worlds together. There's like a mafia world that makes no sense. Like, we all know enough about mafia from whatever, from silent trailers alone that I, you know, I didn't watch a shit ton of movies, and yet I know this is not mafia shit. What? And I don't know how to explain it to you. Now I want Keith to watch it. I can't
do it.
That feels like how all the movies are this year. Everyone's watching like movies that are bad. Then they win an award because something has to.
Right.
And then nothing came out in theaters. All the good movies are behind a paywall somewhere. Yeah. So something had to win. And then, and it's the best advertising for the movies in the most negative way. Cause it's like, you gotta watch No Man's Land. You're like, why would I want to watch? It's fucking terrible. It won movie of the year.
Oh my God.
You have to see this shit. I smell this shit smell. You must smell it now. Come smell this with me.
Okay. But I've said this, I think, on the recent Keith and the Girl show. We've been, or maybe right before on the mic check, we've been watching a lot of movies that don't have an ending, that are like very slice of life. Did something really happen in this? But there's this dialogue and this, you know, understanding of like emotional labor and work and whatever. This was, I thought it was supposed to be an action movie. It was a comedy. I'm insulted. No, this is wrong. Like, you people watch movies. I'm looking at you. You should be very upset at this. This is crazy. I am so forgiving of movies. I will get into everything.
A grave injustice has been done to the people who watch this movie, apparently, and the people who watch No Man's Land and any other movie this year.
Right. Listen, maybe if it was 1980, I'd be like, okay. I get it. Okay.
We'd be five.
Because things didn't add up. I just rewatched Double Jeopardy, LOL. If you want to know how
the law works.
Well, how, yeah, like how stuff.
Not you even... could fucking do. I mean, there's something they could do.
It's actually a documentary on Alex Trebek's life.
I could kill you right in front of cops because I was convicted but not found guilty. Now I can literally stalk you and shit in your soup. There's nothing they could do. Sorry, antiquated law.
That's but what
it's
happened.
It's not even just that. It's that, like, it's. I thought that would be the only thing. Like that. Okay, you're telling people that some kind of law is some double jeopardy thing. That's not exactly it. Fine, but let's say for this world it is. What's funny along the way is like, hey, this guy stole my kid. Has a different identity. When she gets out of jail. And still is telling the story, like, where's my kid? They're like, ah, you fucking convicted murderer. And I'm like, but where's her kid?
Right.
Yeah.
But where's her kid? Like, Google something. Well, like, there's no Google. But, like, you have all the tickety-tacks of all the people. Let's fucking click some buttons. It was so fucking weird the whole time. But I think that's what we got in the 80s. It's like a little bit of reality, a little bit of, like, look, this is movie magic. Now we get actual, like... You know, not real mafia shit, let's say, but like not this fucking cartoon version of we should all be insulted. Okay. That's my PSA for today. I'm sorry.
The worst part is that OJ Simpson saw that movie and, well, you know what happened after that.
The worst part is that this 80s movie was in 1999.
Jesus.
No.
We're getting old, man.
Yeah.
I pay for Hulu with no ads, by the way. I just went ahead and fucking did it, man. The ads are slow torture. Mm-hmm. And if you live in my state, it was so fucking bad last year. It was just every ad was like, Joe Biden wants it to be okay for Black Lives Matter to rape your daughters. Are you going to be cool with that? Vote Trump. And every ad was that. Like, there were no other, there was never like a pledge ad or like a disinfect. Every fucking ad was just motherfucking Bernie Sanders, AOC, Hillary, and Chuck Schumer are coming to North Carolina to let Black Lives Matter burn your house down because they hate the cops. Vote Trump.
Kind of so takes you out of the movie, right?
It's kind of a lot. It's kind of a lot, dude.
I got to take it down because what we see every other commercial is Coming to America. And I'm like, I saw your commercial. Why? It's just two commercials every time. And every time it's Coming to America, I'm like, now I don't want to see it. Now,
right. Yeah. I'm sick of this shit. When is this coming out?
What's happening? I know that it's here. I didn't pee every time you played this. Let's go.
Anyway, that's interesting. They're doing streaming commercials for other streaming platforms. Mm-hmm. Wow. We have reached peak fucking like the future, right? Like, it's not even for some shit on TV. It's like, don't watch the game. Watch log out. Go get Amazon Prime and watch this shit. Oh man, but yeah, you gotta pay if you live in one of these swing states, guys. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I wish I lived in a liberal bastion so I could just be like, I'll watch another Coming to America.
Yeah,
I'll take a piss, but I'm like, I'll just hold it. Fuck this shit. I don't need to see any more of these motherfuckers posing with sheriffs and shit. Allen versus Pharaoh, I watched some of it.
I just saw the second episode that just came out. Still not looking good, you know? You would think this one is on Woody's side, but I don't think it is.
First of all, white people's verses is way different than black people's verses. Like, our verses has, like, D'Angelo versus Maxwell.
Right.
And they play a song. This was not what I was expecting at all.
This is a bigger beef. This is a bigger beef.
This one goes way back, yeah. Okay? They took it very seriously. It is amazing how fucking documentary makes things real for people. You can read it in every paper. Dylan Farrell, all of them have been talking about this for years. When he wins an award, they're like, this motherfucker, do you know what he did? And then HBO Max put something out and everyone's like, Woody Allen, piece of shit. Just, I'll never watch another one of his movies. I'm a huge fan. I got Woody Allen tattoos. Who knew? Who fucking knew, man? He really did that shit. It's weird.
There's got to be people also in denial because they want to see the art. And again, I say, see it. You didn't fucking do it. If you can steal it instead. But what am I going to do? Andrew Dice Clay is a Woody Allen movie. Now I can't see it? No, I get to steal it. It's fine. But they're like really holding on to, it's a newspaper article. I won't read it. And then something becomes a phenomenon like this is already. And they're like, fuck. The whole world is sure now. God damn it.
Yeah, and they always do that thing. I'm going to sue them for their reckless documentary. I'm like, I'm pretty sure HBO had their lawyers look at this.
Right.
They're probably like, please sue us. We would love the promotion of you suing us because we're rock solid. There's shit we left out that we would love to put in a courtroom. Like, come on, Woody, do it.
Does Woody have friends? Like, did somebody say, hey, Woody, don't come out with an autobiography in 2020? There's no fucking point. I knew that would hurt him. I knew it.
Why do they? Well, I guess, you know, that is the problem, right? Like, that's why a lot of these people are able to kind of exist and flourish, is that people who don't do shit like that, we're always trying to rationalize it. To be like, why would he do that if he was guilty? So you're telling me he put out an autobiography, read it in his own words, and addressed the rumors in the fucking, come on, a guilty person doesn't do that. It's like a fucking person that molests kids might do that. Like, that person might do it. Do you molest kids? Okay, so you might not be able to relate to that level of narcissism that he has.
The second episode goes through more. It's not so much revelations per se,
but no spoilers.
They go through Woody Allen's like movie past, and of course it's all kids and a 40-year-old Woody Allen that are fucking each other, and the girl's the one pining for Woody Allen. Mm-hmm. We're like, and Woody Allen's like, no, I'm just a stepping stone that, you know, yeah, you're 17, we fuck, but that, you know, go out, go on, be with somebody else. No, please, you're the man I want to be with. We have great sex. You're so interesting, blah, blah, blah. That's the way he wrote it.
I feel so bad, though, because like in the first episode, they showed how many women who are obviously starred for representation in Hollywood gravitated towards his films because he had, quote unquote, strong female protagonists. And then at the same time, he's essentially grooming Hollywood and everyone watching his movies and all these starlets that like grew up on his movies who are like, my dream is to be in one of his movies. It's like, yes, that, but in real life to a real person too. Like, it's not just the movies for that dude.
Yeah, in the second episode, that's what a film critic said. Like, they're grooming us and being like, hey, this is okay. It's a cute movie. It's Manhattan, the movie. It's fantastic. And I'm with the 17-year-old. What's the fucking problem? You know it's not that big a deal. And now it's in the news in real life. Okay.
Yeah. It's crazy, too, because the documentary, if a documentary can make people go, being anti-vax is how I should be. Because they see it. It's like a documentary. Coronavirus is fake. How? It was a documentary. Like, a documentary for people. Somehow it just becomes fucking real. And if it works for conspiracy theories, why can't it work for the truth? Like, why? Like, isn't it a good thing that there's a documentary about R. Kelly? Like, we just need more of these things in the world where it's just like, let me tell you exactly what Harvey Weinstein did. Because every time you listen to a podcast, you're going, I don't know. I mean, he took a lie detector test or whatever. Like, there's some guy being devil's advocate or something. No, let's just do the documentary for everything. And then you go, oh, Bill Cosby did it. I saw the documentary. It's over.
When this documentary wins Best Documentary next year, and COVID's over, do they cut to the audience of the women that were in his films?
Dude, I would feel if I was
Scarlett Johansson, the later ones. Yeah.
Yeah, I would feel so fucking ashamed at this point because people like the documentary is going to come out. And you know how people do. They're not going to be like, well, we all were watching the movies and we were okay. They're going to be like, no, you were fucking in the movie. You knew you were okay with it. It's like, but you saw the movie and you were okay with it. No. Right. You don't try to change this. You. It's like, well, he's still the one who did everything. But yeah, I can't imagine anyone being able to release like a statement or some shit that could fix this at this moment. You just got to wait it out.
Right.
Exhibit got divorced from his wife. Mm-hmm. And y'all talked about this for a while, which is so good because I know Keith brought it up as a passing thing and y'all got stuck on it. And I love when that happens. My question is this. What if his wife just wanted like a trial separation, but then he pimped it up into a divorce?
All right. I got 5 divorce papers, 10 lawyers. Like, no. I just said I wanted to go out with my girlfriends alone for a weekend.
I like a you know, just like maybe we could sleep on other ends of the house. And he's like, nope. I brought some fellas in.
You know what? I can use some grapes. And then he, you know, next day he comes home, he's looking like Grimace. Hey, I'm all grape. Like, oh, God damn it. That's not really listening.
Let's put some spinning rims on this argument. I'm like, what is happening in my house? Playing music out loud. This was such a intervention. For him to apparently, we all know him to have a beautiful, gifted voice, and I'm sure Xerxes would love to hear it. You know, he's a huge fan, but him to also didn't want to make a stink. She didn't want to be inconsiderate in the house. Okay, we're all stuck in the house now. We're all getting sick of each other. Maybe I don't want to hear your beautiful voice in the bathroom, in the shower, singing real loud. And then everyone tried to talk her out of it. And including Xerxes. How did you feel in this situation when everyone kind of was like coming at you?
Well, I'll tell you the result of it. The next day, Xerxes is like, hey, let's play music out loud. And he puts on Vision of Love, the album. So who's losing here? I think him. But I believe him. That's the thing. I really believe him. I knew that people would be like, I'm gonna live your life, blah, blah, blah. But there is something to courtesy. Just because you have a voice that could stay on key doesn't mean somebody wants to hear that voice. Doesn't mean that somebody wants to hear that music. Now, how could I say this and also believe that he wants to hear it? That's the issue that I'm having in my head. Mm. So I'm trying, but I don't know. In my experience, there have been people who are like, oh, this person, they have a nice voice, but like, can we hear the singer singing it? Or like, can we just not experience this music?
Has anybody ever said that to you? They've said it to us, me and Rod. Have they ever said it to you?
I don't do it. I don't do it because I know that that is a feeling, that it's just, oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, it was done to me. My next door neighbor growing up, she went to LaGuardia High School. She had an incredible voice, really big range, beautiful. But I didn't always want to hear it. And we played the radio, which means pop music. And I'm hearing it sort of like an opera voice. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, that's really pretty, but right now we're not listening to Mariah Carey. Right now we're listening to like, I don't, some other thing. You don't have to put like extra fluff on it, extra reverberation, extra like gymnastics in the vocal, and it would just annoy me. How about that thing that people go like, oh, I like the song. Let's hear how this guy actually does it. And, you know, let's hear the actual, how the actual singer does it. Nobody, it's not really. And also, if you're listening to things like Daniel Johnston, you're not listening for the vocal gymnastics and the whatever. It's like a totally different thing. So does he want to hear it when I'm not around? No. But then you magically want that in your ears when I am around. And at the same time, I believe him. So you could see
it's quite where a life. I am. Quite a life.
Well, I've come up with a solution to this because I've been thinking about it all weekend since I heard the show. I think once a month, you should just get to put on a concert. You know, that way you both have it. It's just a concert for an audience of one. You know, you pick a couple tracks and then you do it. And then it's like he's getting what he wants because you're, you know, you do believe that this is what he wants, you know, and then you get to, you know, have that freedom for a second and give him that gift. You know, or, you know, pick maybe not once a month, but you pick how much time. But, you know, just do a little concert. It would be cool.
You want me to look up lighting?
See, I thought you were going to say do it for everybody but him. So you get it out of your whatever. After that show, he was like, I guess I have to start giving you $20 if I want you to feel comfortable in your house. Because I said, like, well, that's, I don't know. You didn't, did you, did anyone understand my point of view or like,
no,
get it? Really? No, no? Keith, you don't like people singing in the house.
Well, where did, why would you get that? That's not true.
You didn't like people singing at work as they're working?
No, it's just I don't care. I mean, I like people singing on the subway. I like people making noise. I like people yelling about Jesus Christ and stuff. That's fun to me. That breaks up monotony. No, when people would sing at work, it didn't bother me, but it was just like, your voice is horrible. What the fuck are you doing? But it didn't bother me. It was just hilarious to me that all these Broadway wannabes are singing so that somebody else hears it and either minimal loves it and is impressed, or most likely and better yet, can somehow get them a job. And it's like, what are you? This is so fake and weird, and you're only singing when you pass me. But I don't care, but it's, you look like a fake fuck. That's all.
There's a kind of intimacy to singing in front of people, you know? Like, if you feel comfortable enough to be like, I'm going to throw this song on in the car and sing along with it, and you're in the car with me, because I know you do that when no one's here, right? Oh, everyone does that. So clearly... Clearly, at this point, you feel I'm so close to you that it's like no one else is here for you, or you don't, you know that I'm going to be like,
is there that feeling? Does that feeling exist? Because I don't think it should. That we're so close that I don't know you're there. So you're going to pick your nose?
Yeah, it definitely exists. But singing, I think, you're going to take a shit.
There's another person here. No, don't take a shit in front of me.
I'm not saying I'm with it. I'm just saying it's a sign of intimacy in a way.
No, it's a sign of lack of boundaries. That's not intimacy.
I think the fact that you compare singing to taking a shit says a lot.
Right.
Because I don't think those two things are close to the same.
Not really.
It's like if Karen comes, if I come in the house and Karen's listening to Beyonce and she's twerking, I'm not going to be like, shut that shit down. I hate twerking and I hate when it's not twerking time and you're in here shaking that ass. Like,
yeah,
come on, man.
Yeah, you ever start dumping in the bathroom and then Karen's not paying attention, so she just dumps along?
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, that's never about? Been a thing. Like, I don't even think that's... It's not like I go, you're twerking, this is the same, it's taking a shit, well, I'm taking
maybe
a shower.
I'm making the same faces.
Well, that is the face people make when they sing, but it's beautiful then.
I have heard her hem the fart, though, and if I'm not out of line, voice of an angel.
Yeah.
She does rolls out of her asshole.
All right, are you guys ready? I'm going to do Vision of Love. I have it queued up karaoke
yes.
style. Yes. Here we go. Everybody's into this?
Mm-hmm.
No, you're supposed to say anything but that. All right, let's... All that right. was a good segment.
Sorry for being supportive. all right. I am the one in the relationship that does try to put Karen on the music, though. I'm that person that's like, I'm going to play this song in the car, and I hope that she likes it. I don't force it, like, shut up and listen, but I play in the background, and every once in a while she'll surprise me and be like, who is this? Or what have we been listening to? Or I find out she's been listening to it on her own, and that's such a great feeling for someone when you're trying to, like, put them on to something. So
for
I like
sure.
that.
It is nice, yeah.
I put headphones on and play hair metal into on Kyle when she's asleep. I put it
I
on
Keith
her.
Is, I think Keith smart. Is rude for playing his hair metal through, like, every intern, everybody who's worked with us has to sit through his hair metal. Mm-hmm. It's become a gag, and yep. he's completely comfortable with this.
Yep. Yeah.
They have to be welcome to the jungle.
Yeah.
And that's,
I am welcoming them to the jungle.
Yes, yes, I get what he's doing there.
Of course. Everybody has then, things they don't like about their job, you know.
the other thing I thought was interesting too is in Himda, in your mind, do you think Xerxes is like oh man, I don't want to hear this singing, but I'm too nice to say it, or is that like something you're bringing from,
and he's
like,
doubling
past
down and he's doubling down by going please.
Yeah, he's daring you, like, just stop fucking, because I'll do that with Karen sometimes, like, because Karen grew up with her mom's a lot, right? And so she'll do stuff to this day where I'm like she'll be like, such and such, I'm sorry, and I'm like, why are you apologizing? That you didn't, that's, I'm here for you, this is good, I want to talk, or whatever. And it's like, that's just going to be it probably for the rest of our lives. It's just, you know, every once in a while I'll flip it and be like, you should be sorry, you know, because you came in here with a lot of attitude asking for some food. Okay. And then she's like, I'm not sorry. Okay. I was hungry. I'm like, exactly. We're not sorry. We're two partners. We're together. We're in this. So is there like a secret thing in your head of like, maybe he doesn't mean it or something that caused you to feel this way?
I'm sure there is a little bit. I don't think that I could deny it if I'm saying that I believe him, but then making excuses that he never said, then I know that there is something there. I just don't know. Like, I imagine you just have to do an uncomfortable thing until it becomes comfortable. Because I believe him. But yeah, I think it might be able to compare, like, I don't feel comfortable sitting with my foot on my knee so that my soul is facing you. I will always be aware of that. And I try to do it anyway because no one cares, but
right.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. I always feel like, there's a scenario where you're like singing in the shower, you have a great time, and then you like walk out the shower and then he's like packing his shit and you're just like, what are you doing? He's like, I think you know what you did. Okay. I heard you in the shower. I'm out of here. And last thing, Bianca's out of the hospital.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, you love to see it. You love to hear it. Okay. I mean, I know she'll never hear this. I get it. Okay. But, you know, we're all rooting for her. And, you know, this will be a job that I'll be glad to give up if it's for Bianca coming to get her things back, because I also love the show when she hosts it. So,
well, if you want the, the updates, caringbridge.com, caringbridge.com. Her mother is updating that and said that we're allowed to give it out. And you just have to search for Bianca Brady. And she'll just post, like, here's where her platelet's at. Here's how she's feeling. And then when she was out of the hospital, she posted there, too.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah, and you can comment on there. And she is reading them. So if you have been wanting to send her a message, please do.
All right. I would comment, but she doesn't want to hear what I have to say. I get it, Bianca. It's territorial. I get it. It's a contest. And what was the poll for this episode, Keith?
The poll was, are you comfortable playing your music out loud with other people around? 52% say yes.
See, okay. This makes sense, right? You have to consider other people that you're living with.
Not really, because politically, no matter where you stand, you know half the country's fucking nuts.
Yeah, I guess it would depend on who other people were in that situation. Because if it was like what him to describe, where it's like my lover, then yes, I'm comfortable playing whatever the fuck I was playing around them. But if it was like, you know, I was on the train, then maybe not, because there's a lot of N-words and cusses and shit in what I'd be listening to. Everyone might not be down with this, and I might not want everyone to be down with this shit.
I'll sing with you, buddy. Like, whoa.
Yeah. Shame on a hey, not you. Let me get my headphones back out. Episode 3000. Oh, go ahead, Keith. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, ironically, you skipped a show. Monday's show was episode 3375 called Do Not Delete. And that was with Jack Helmuth.
And oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
I missed the show?
You missed the show, my friend.
Oh, God. I definitely listened to it.
Silent Trailers and Money Wiring, Promising Young Woman and Lowered Expectations, Deleting Old Keith and the Girl episodes, and Vague Lovers were the topics.
And you know what? Actually, I did not hear this show.
You're in for a treat.
This is breaking news to me. Did it not go in my feed?
Check it out. We talked about, people that rate us and say, hey, can you take this show down? I think I said something.
Oh, no.
Wrong.
Fuck yeah. I did. I thought Karen covered that. I did hear this. Oh, my God. Me and Karen talked about this. Not even for Keith and the Girl. Just in real life as podcasters. The disrespect.
Yes.
The fucking nerve. Are you serious? You literally are saying, I don't take what you do serious. You're not. That's not a real job. What you do is a fake job where I can just change on a whim and be like, fuck your little show. Take that shit down. Fuck everything you worked on. Fuck all the research. Fuck everything you talk about. Fuck every joke. Fuck the post on your website where your friends commented on it. I feel a different way now. Take your shit down. Oh, my God. We were livid. Anyway.
Also, fuck
episode.
The understanding that you can't take anything down on the internet. You can't. What mindset are people in where they're like, I was on a website and I no longer, that's not a thing. It's not a thing. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't go away. But I'm really glad to be in a place where I don't feel obligated to even return that email.
I was so proud when you said that.
Thank you.
Because I have that too. When someone writes me something, maybe I can reason with them or whatever the fuck. Right. Or sometimes even to taunt them to be like, fuck you, I'm not doing it. And then I'm like, I don't actually have to talk to you. It's like Keith referred to earlier about rules. The people that are like, these are the rules. No, fuck that. I don't have to reply to this nonsense. What you just said to me is nonsense. And the only reply I could have is just going to escalate this thing because I'm not taking it down. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Keith said they're still fucking going back and forth with this person on social media and they still left that shit up. So now what is this about? This is like you're trying to control me. I did listen to the show. I did leave notes for this. I remember everything now. Thanks for bringing up this argument.
it's so offensive and it's so not thinking. And let me not stop my tweets, but let me stop your thing. We have, I know I mentioned I used the pronoun female mm-hmm. a lot during that show. But if it isn't clear, it's been males too, of course. Right. And one said, hey, can you take out this part, this 10-minute set? And this is a guy you'd be like, him? He's a professional comedian. And he goes, can you take this 10-minute part out? And I'm like, you're the one who keeps referencing it to it later on. One comedian said, hey, can you take this part out about my grandma? And we just ignore him and we'll never have him on again. That is the only interesting story he told.
Right.
That's the only interesting story Lance told. And then and he says, can you take that? I'm like, who the fuck are? And by the way, of course, later you reference the grandma because callback is a cake to you motherfuckers.
Right. Yeah. They can't help it. And yeah. But fuck you and fuck your show and fuck your callbacks and fuck right. the fact that you'll even reference this episode one day, right? Like when Newsy does Q&A, it's literally going back in the archives. Remember what? And then on this date, I guess a show didn't happen because we don't talk about
right.
that show because a person changed their mind. It's
matters. And it never matters. Right. Nothing happened with this guy and his grandma because I left some non-grandma story in. Nothing's right. going to happen to the woman who got nervous about an ex mentioning an ex-boyfriend. Right. Nothing's going to happen.
And that's the other thing, too. Like, you brought it up. If it was in the immediacy of the show, like, you're wrapping up and they're like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck. Guys, I hate to do this to you. But something I said references like a legal situation and it might cause me to lose a lawsuit. Can you please, I'm sorry to do this to you. Can you please take it out? There's like a level of like.
But they don't even check. Like even this latest person that was the final one where I'm like, fuck it. I want to talk about this.
Yeah.
They didn't go, hey, can you take out, not that I would have anyway, right. but they didn't look it up and go, can you take out 25 minutes to 32 minutes? And I was an right. asshole, a callback. So your show doesn't sound fucking stupid at 46 minutes to 51 minutes. You didn't even look it up. You yeah, lazy fake fuck.
I wonder also, because this was at least a year ago, at least 2 years ago, this show. I wonder if they heard the show at all, because my recollection is, what did you say about your family? Okay. So you might have brought up your family, and now you decide it's a segment on your family that reveals so much. Listen to it again and see, did you tell your grandmother's fucking address, because maybe right. just don't do that, you know, like there's right. never, it's never as interesting as they think either. It's never as controversial, mm-hmm. never as gossipy. It's usually just a passing thought in people's mind. They don't follow up. This isn't helping a PI guy. Like, it's just not a thing. And too bad there had mm-hmm. like, I get it, because we're live and we put it on, and if you're not funny, you flop and it's there and whatever. But I'm not thrilled about every single sentence that has ever come out of my mouth that people have recorded. You know, it's not sometimes like you kind of stutter and you say something and you're like, did I exaggerate that? Or I don't know. That's but whatever. I don't know.
It's never as bad as they think. Also, what happens too? So I read this book by Sarah Schulman called Conflict Is Not Abuse. It's such a great book. Mm-hmm. But the people that are in the middle of this fight, it's like their adrenaline is pumping. And then you take on this attitude of like, I want to control it. I want to control the situation. So now I'm reaching out to you going, delete the show, take the show down. Cause this will help in my battle versus this person that you don't fucking know who is not coming to listen to this, by the way. Like that person is not out there like, I finally found the fucking episode 2973.
Right.
The case is mine. Wait till my lawyer gets this, bitch. Like, it's never, that situation is never happening. It's you freaking out and trying to control the whole thing. And now you've involved all these other people in this paranoid situation, man. I think they don't see it as disrespect, but also, you know what else it is? Motherfuckers don't take podcasting as seriously as y'all do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, y'all are professionals. How many comedians think they just need a podcast because like someone told them like, you need a podcast, you need a podcast. Right. So now they just think it's some shit that you like do six episodes of and quit and then call it season two, 3 years later when you come back. So to them, it's just like, why not take it down? Fuck it. It's like, this is a serialized fucking serious thing we're doing. This is an archive of our fucking lives. We put our blood and sweat into this. Yeah, that was terrible. Lance, shame on you, buddy.
That's right.
What else happened in this episode? What was the poll?
I remember I enjoyed that topic a lot, and then we talked about my girlfriend and these ice cream and sugar cones, and how, and it sounds like Karen does the same thing. Rod, tell me if I'm wrong. You're doing yourself a disservice by not telling me what you want.
Dude, the bane of my existence. Yeah. I just want to please this woman.
Yeah, you won't. They won't let me
be happy.
Yeah,
I'll do whatever you want. You're not putting me out. I want to do the effort. Okay, I like this will do. You talk about this too. She'll do this thing where like I cook something Now, I just want to get better at cooking, period. Like, I'm right. cooking for us. I'm eating it. You're eating it. Sometimes there's things she doesn't enjoy. And there's mm-hmm. like she doesn't like carrots. It doesn't matter how the fuck you cook them. She don't like them, right? But then she just won't say anything. Oh, this is delicious. This is great. And I look over and I'm like, every carrot is left. Every carrot. I could have ordered something with not carrots.
Yeah.
I could have made the corn. What something you do like. And then the meal will be even better than acknowledging that it's fundamentally delicious, but you don't want to eat the shit. I don't care. It's not a beauty contest. I want you to enjoy the thing. And you didn't do me the favor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like you're not satisfied. And that is kind of the thing, it seems, with Kyle as well.
Yeah, I it's only making me give up more. Like, now it's movie time. She's like, what do you think? I'm like, go ahead, scroll for a half hour. I'll be here. Yeah. Scroll for a half hour. I'll do some. I'll fuck around on my phone. I just downloaded right. Doodle Jump 2. Who gives a shit? And yeah. and then half hour goes by and she's like, what do you think? Nomadland. That's what I think. Right. I'm ready. What do you got? Ooh, this yeah. looks good. This looks good. You go by you're going by words you never heard of. This looks good. And I go, how about this? You know, the black guy in Judas. I heard yeah. it's great. And it's like, man, those words aren't really hitting me today. Like, what? But okay, so just do it. When she wants food, I go, all right, think about it. But what do you mm-hmm. want? I don't give a shit. I gave up already. Yeah. I already gave up. So, you're gonna. She goes. Oh, maybe chicken. I'm like, okay. So I'm not going to call yet because it's not that.
Right.
So
right.
you say 10 things and then you pick and then we'll get that because no more stress. Is, so now you just made me stupid.
I don't have the wherewithal to do the complete standoff like Keith does because I know Keith is like, balls in your court, motherfucker.
Yeah.
We just won't eat tonight.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out. And I'm always like, I do that for like 5 minutes and then I give up. I'm always like, fuck, let's scroll together. We're scrolling and you want the bullshit? No, not the bullshit tonight. What about the other bullshit that you don't want? No, pizza again. You know, pizza's your favorite. Only if I want pizza, well, I never want pizza. So you like Papa John's pizza. It's the worst of the pizzas.
Right.
Why would anyone ever want that? No one's been in the mood for that except you. And yes, we will get it. I've eaten Papa John's my whole life, Keith. I hate Papa John's. It's the worst. The other day, they finally fucked up our order two times in a row where it said it would be 2 hours to deliver it. And then finally, they would call and be like, we're not even going to bring it. Aww. And I was so thankful. I was thankful. I was like, good. We don't eat tonight. Mm-hmm. But that also means we never eat this shit again. Because right. it's bullshit, Karen.
She was doing her food thing. And I go, okay, well, in the meantime, I'm making grilled cheese. No, we're going to eat it. I'm like, okay, but I'll make it anyway. Yeah. I ate it. By the time food came, I was hungry again.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Guess you also had some grilled cheese. Guess you also had some grilled cheese. Okay, very good.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'm not going to be disrespectful to you, but come on.
Yeah, let's not play.
You got to go through a process every time.
Yeah, if I didn't figure it out by now, you'd look at me like I'm stupid and leave me. You'd have to.
Right.
You're with a adult.
Right. Yeah. If I'm still going, no, let's scroll through Netflix for the thousandth time. How am I not the dick?
Yeah. I'm supposed to be surprised. You want to look under mystery and then surprise. You want to look under good things. There's not a category called good things, Kyle.
How about this? I've been doing the research.
Yeah.
I got a few options on me. I know what the thing is everyone's talking about. We should do the thing. It's like, nope. Not doing the thing.
The poll was, is your partner clear about things they like or want? 53% yes, 30% no. 17% don't have a partner. So one third of people, their partner isn't doing them a favor. Themselves a favor, anybody a favor. All fucking world a favor. No one gets favors with these people.
No it's the favors. Worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst. It's the best of the worst. I'll put it that way. Like, obviously there's worse things.
Right.
But this is like it's the best. It's the worst. Of the good things. It's the worst of the, because you're being nice. I know where it's coming from, but you are making everything so much more fucking difficult.
Right. It's like, why? If you're, the way you're saying it, it's like, let's say your life is perfect, but you get kicked in the balls once a month. Not the worst life. Everything else is perfect. Yeah, but it's your partner kicking you in the balls, and can they just stop it? Really? That's your complaint? Right. Your life is perfect. Wear a cup. That is,
and then the thing I tell her is like, but baby, that means when you do tell me you like something, it is worthless now.
Yes.
You have the inflation rate on your light has been so fucked up now that we can't even, I can't, it's no value to it. Oh, I liked it. You liked it and you ate no carrots?
Right.
So you like that as much as the thing that you licked the plate? That, to you, that is the same. When Karen, I go, oh man, I don't want to order edamame. I fucking hate edamame. And Karen goes, I love edamame. I'm like, you've never ordered edamame in your life.
They don't want to offend edamame.
Yeah, edamame is not a thing. It's not a person.
It doesn't have feelings. It's dead.
The waiter's not going to come over and be like, no edamame? Oh, I thought I was finally going to sell one today. Like, there's no one to be hurt by this but us.
Right.
Because if not, she did this and I ordered the edamame the one day because she kept saying she loved it when it would come up on the show. So I'm like, oh yeah, it's like edamame. She's like, oh, I love edamame. I'm like, Karen, you don't love edamame. I love it. So I was like, okay, cool. Dude, I hope you don't love me like you love edamame. I hope one of these is real. And so next time we went out to eat, I ordered it and I was like, I don't want any, but you love it.
Right. Eat up. You don't like broccoli, Rob. It's $12. Well, you can take it home, Keith. Fuck you.
Because now I got to.
Yeah.
Someone got to get some value out of this.
And now
shit.
Who gets it? A homeless guy gets $12 of broccoli, Rob. He'll throw it out of my face.
My Lord.
Wait, but does she like broccoli, Rob?
No. But she thinks she does. She'll tell you
she does. She'll tell you that.
Yeah.
She passed a lie detector saying that.
Yeah.
But then when it comes down to it, it's like, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Survey says, that's a fucking lie. You don't like this.
I have 10 pounds of broccoli Rob in my fucking house. That's just a trick so that at home I eat broccoli Rob.
That's really...
Right. That's weird too.
That's what we should do. One day, as a surprise, we make all the foods they love.
Right.
No, I don't even want any. It's for you. Go ahead. Yeah. Broccoli Rob and edamame. Delicious. You know, this is a favor because I love you so much.
Yeah, I listen.
Yeah. I even tell her, I love you, but not like you love edamame.
Right.
I love you for real, for real.
I'm getting a dictionary for her birthday.
By the way, this is the sweetest shit talking ever. And I really do wish that Xerxes can come in on this where like I could be like, yo, you wanna just turn on your mic, you know? And then like see him like being a part of this, because I do wonder at what level, because I've heard him say stuff like this about me, and I'm like, I think I'm pretty clear. And I have gotten clearer because I'm just like, we are in this, and if I'm gonna keep faking the funk, I'm gonna be tired. So
Yeah,
so it's getting better, but I know that he's like, but I asked you how you like this, and you said, however. And then when I think about it more, I'm just like, oh, yeah, there's more of this. And he's like, but I want... Anyway, it would be great.
It does need to be a good man shit-talking club. You know what I mean?
Sweet. Right. It's so sweet.
Like a good... Because I don't talk shit with a lot of people, especially about... Definitely not about my wife, because... A lot of motherfuckers got real problems, and then it's like, you're like, and then she fucking says she likes edamame, and they're like, so I don't think the baby's mine. And you're like, oh. Hey.
Yeah. Our chicks walk by like, oh, no, here they come. I don't want them to know. I want them to be happier.
Yeah. She overheard me saying I wanted to have an even better life.
Right.
And your wife overheard you saying she's a bitch, and you got three extra right. side chicks. So I don't.
Yeah, Kyle heard the ice cream rant, and she's like, oh, it was so funny. I'm like, yeah, but it's not funny.
It's like, it can be funny to everyone but you.
Right.
These are notes. I want to see your work. All right. Sorry I messed that one up. I don't know how that happened. Was that also the show where him that talked about getting their period and then things like don't make sense and then things do make sense? Because the reason I'm bringing this up, I saw a tweet that reminded I was gonna at him deal with it, but I was like, that's too far. But it was this woman who was talking about her period, and she was just like, before my period, there's 3 or 4 days where things don't make sense, and then I get my period, and then everything makes sense.
Right.
And I was like, that sounds kind of like what Hemda was describing, where she's like, yeah, you this happens every month, and at the same time, you can never really be ready for it. But then, you know, as Xerxes kind of politely points out, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, all right, I see what happened here.
It's so, I guess, because I don't recognize myself in that state, because it doesn't feel like me. But, you know, I feel like that must be part of me. It's me with this hormone level, whatever the fuck happens. But it's, and also, like, when we were younger, there were so many period jokes that got on my nerves. Like, women were completely dismissed and just said, like, if you didn't like what we were saying, oh, are you on your period? So then we were like, never on our periods. You know what I mean? We were like, right, you will not know my cycle. You will not know where I'm at. You will not be able to blame this on something other than you and what's happening at this moment. So there was a big, like, that's not who I do not have my period like that. If I'm angry with you, it's because you're irritating me. Just because I have PMS, it just means that, like, I have less tolerance for your shit maybe on those days, but it's still your shit and you're pissing me off. So it became sort of that, and I think that gave me, like, a denial that I still was going through something, and I do have less patience on those days, and I do have this irritation from the inside where I can't deal with, like, all the regular shit. You know, you got to balance all the regular shit all the time, and now it feels heavy, and I should take some time during those days, but you can't always. It's just, it, I have to consider those different days, but, you know, you don't really get period days off.
Right.
And it's also mostly psychological, although my back hurts, my stomach hurts. So I guess we're also focused on, like, okay, my back hurts, my stomach hurts, I'm going to focus on making that feel good. You don't realize that also psychologically it hurts. It's just a lot. And he's, yeah, and I think it's coming back to, like, I am, for lack of a better word, allowing Keith to say PMS jokes. If you go back in our history, you couldn't even say a PMS joke because you're dismissive. But now that, like, I feel heard, you get to also, you know, say, like, you are different. This is fucked up. And I have to acknowledge that, like, maybe you have your cycle too, but that's not my defense. That's not my response. Like, oh, you get bitchy too. Okay, we'll deal with that when I get bitchy. But, like, let's.
Yeah, it's been used to gaslight women so much, and there's, like, a shame around it. You know, it's like we covered a topic on our show once about this family threw this girl a party when she started her menstrual cycle, and Karen was like, "No, this is a horrible idea," and I was like, "There's actually some kind of, like, radical and feminist about it, because it's like, this is going to be your body for the rest of your life. You shouldn't have to feel, like, dirty or ashamed, or
okay, it is,
like, but you're becoming a woman.
But Rod, when your balls drop, do you want a party from your family?
Absolutely. It's called a bat mitzvah, and I didn't get one, and I'm fucking jealous. It's the only thing that I'm, listen.
It's happening physically while so many things. When I get boobs, do I want a party? You know, when you grow hair in certain places, do you want a party? Not from your family, not from your parents, not from your uncles. You just want to feel it first. So it's like, it's so, yes, the fact that it's a secret is, you know, the opposite and maybe too far, but no, I don't want to talk about my pubic hair that, like, hey guys, by the way, if pubic hair is now, everybody want to know your armpit hair. Like, what do you want to know about this? Like, people are trying to live their
lives. Don't think it would be as explicit as that in the party, right? It's like a bat mitzvah, a quinceañera or something like that, where it's just like, you're becoming a woman or whatever, right?
Yeah, well, because that's essentially how about your wife got it at 9? Did she want a party?
And her mom made her feel ashamed of that shit, and it fucked with her for a long time. And that's not right. I don't think that should have happened. Like, if it would have been a celebratory thing, like, hey, you're becoming a woman, or this is a milestone.
There's a middle ground
there.
Yeah. There's a middle ground, and it's not a party thrown by your mom where your dad's invited, your uncle's invited, like every cousin you want to, like, kiss.
You cut a cake, blood pops out. It's like a whole thing.
That's funny, because we're adults and periods are not a big thing. But as you're changing, imagine your boobs are growing, and for every cup size that you go up, there's a party for you. I could be a woman and a feminist without that. We can celebrate it, quote unquote, by giving me a raise in my allowance, because I have more responsibilities now. My blood, my vagina is bleeding. Okay. So that's how we celebrate. Maybe ask me how I want to celebrate. That's like, I don't know. It's even worse than throwing your partner a surprise party when they're like clearly not wanting a surprise party. But who doesn't like a surprise party? Let's meet in the middle somewhere and ask me what I want. And also, if you're 9, 11, 13, let's celebrate some other shit, too. Let's just not shame the thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like it's kind of like balancing it out because right now it's just shame. You know what I mean? There's no celebration. So this one family was like, let's celebrate. It's like, fuck you, you motherfucking bitches. What are you setting her up to be? It's like, no. If we've made a world where it's okay to be like, you're dirty now and you're not a little girl anymore and you don't get to be like, then we should also have some people in this world where they're like, no, it's cool. Like, welcome to the club. I'm your aunt. I'm your mom. This is a part of life. I don't want you to always feel bad. And then also, I think, like I said, it attributes to this gaslighting because men, from that point on, pull the like, we're the more reasonable, logical people. And you listen, I don't want a president.
How will she be president? Yeah. How will she be president? She's been like past menopause for 10, 20 years.
Right.
You still jerk off and you say men will be men when their dicks are erect. You could still get an erect dick. So what's happening with you? Still raping much?
Right.
That's the assumption, right? I'm a cunt on my period and you are a rapist when your dick is hard. Okay, let's celebrate. Right.
Hillary's going to get hot flashes and bombed in the Middle East. Like, that's not, what the fuck is wrong? But that
then
is
why
like,
are you letting women take care of your kids? Your most prized possession, these fucking maniacs in mid-month, they're going to fucking punch your children in the face because I don't know what to do. I have so many emotions. Mommy, if we haven't killed your kids, don't worry about it.
Meanwhile, like a dude gets a cold or some shit and is like, I'm going to kill my whole family tonight. Or like, we make up 99.9% of spree shooters and mass killers, but we're the logical people. Those people needed to die. We did the logical deductions and we needed to shoot up a concert full of people. And I feel like I know this sounds so tangential and unrelated, but it feels like it starts with, bitches be tripping, man. Them periods, you know, it feels like it starts there the first time. It's just like, and we never have to listen to her again. She's a crazy woman.
Right.
Anyway, so last show of the week was episode 3377, Cleaning House of Lucas Connolly. Lovable Lucas Connolly. Awkward King of Comedy. Lovable Lucas Connolly. This is an awkward show to me. I don't know if y'all felt it. Did it feel awkward to y'all?
Well, tell us a little more first.
Okay, so first of all, Lovable, is that a name he gave himself?
Yeah, social media. Yes. Yeah, just because Lucas was taken or something like that.
Because he says Lovable, I was like, oh, because he loves him so much in 5 minutes. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like this feels weird. I don't know. He just felt like his joke timing was a little bit like he was kind of waka waka and y'all were like, oh, let's keep it real. And then eventually as the episode flowed on, I thought his timing and rhythm with y'all got better. But the beginning felt a lot like, is he trying to do a bit? Is this a real answer? Is he afraid to answer this question? At least to me.
He is lovable. He really is. I believe that. He is edgy. But I feel like he's been alone for a long time. I know his girlfriend's there or whatever, but I mean without purpose. Mm. And you could see like the edge is not sharpened. So if you're trying to be edgy, you better keep it sharp. Otherwise, it just kind of falls. So I think he was, you know, he is a very, very liberal guy trying to sort of satirize some stuff. But because it's not in there right now. And, you know, like when it makes total sense when he's like, I haven't started a podcast. I know like everyone's just starting a podcast, but it is a project and you have to put your comedic timing and your energy into something and you have to feel useful, especially right now. So if you don't have a job or your job was taken away, you have to find a way to feel useful. And, you know, he can color. So there's your second talent, your third talent, whatever the fuck it is. And you're not doing it. I think that's when you can't, like, I'm not shitting on him. I think he's great. I think he's actually very funny, but I see what you're saying. And I think it's because he's going through a time and he needs to incorporate that energy in his life a little bit more.
Like, he need the reps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. If the other thing though is, I mean, by the end he was fitting in and it was fine. Like literally by the end, I was just like, oh, this guy's like, I kind of wish you could like almost cut the first 20 minutes and then just start the
show. Well, we're not gonna, so don't write the email.
And then take the episode down. Because I felt some of the things he said was a little over the top. But it's almost like if you started the show 10 minutes in, you're just like, oh no, it's the same regular episode, but it was a little touch and go to begin.
Yeah, and I think if we didn't know him, I'd be like, wait, is he telling, like, fucked up jokes that, like, he's then going to somehow say, what can I say sort of thing? And I'm like, oh, I see what he's doing because I know him, but this might come off not the way he's intending.
You brought up O-Matt, and then he's just like, so do I get a Matt? And I was just like, oh, he's doing bits. He doesn't get it yet. And then, of course, you never tell him that there's something you want to do, you're not doing.
Right.
Do you know the show? Do you know him? You're going to get your ass motivated.
Like it or not.
Yeah. I'm working on this thing I should be working on, but I don't know. I thought I'd bring it up as an aside, and it's just like, nope.
Yeah. Him goes, what are you working on? I go, not a fucking thing.
Yeah. I'm happy as hell. Everything is great. Everything is right where I want it to be. And there's no reason to talk about it, okay? The drill sergeant music started playing. Listen, maggot! Keith, how did you feel? Did you feel it was awkward at all, or you were good?
No, it was... you guys nailed it with the weird kind of edgy. It was an unsharpened edge.
Okay, yeah.
I think just nothing's also, you know, you got to understand there's not a lot new in these pandemic people's lives also.
It's a hard time. If you can hear that me and Keith are like we really like Lucas and we think he's funny. Like you can hear it in our, I guess something was off. We're not like he was the worst. He's never getting booked again or whatever. Right. We can tell like this is a hard time. So... Okay.
I mean, y'all have never, at least from what I've heard, I've never heard y'all set someone up to fail. It's always been like, if a motherfucker didn't do good on the show, they put their foot in it. You know what I mean? They were like, I don't want to be a good guest. I'm going to fuck this up. So it didn't be like, and that's the beauty of it. Cause like I said, a few minutes in, it's just like, boom, picks right back. And you're like, oh, okay, cool.
He wasn't a bad guest. And like the bad guest is the person who's not landing their jokes and then not letting our jokes land. So it's like, that's very annoying. Like, okay, your jokes aren't landing. You're not hitting it. And then when we joke, that's when you take things seriously. And it's like, no extra work. We're about to start ignoring you. Right. So there's a jump rope situation going in here. You either like find your groove and get in there, or that's okay. You just drop like one-liners. That's your job today. Or like you chime in when you do have a story. You lay back until there's time. It's time to talk. So I think he's very funny. He was good on the marathon. I don't know, maybe he had like an off first 10 minutes or something, but he wasn't coming across like I know him. So that's,
I also think it makes it even more awkward when Keith brings up porn within the first 5 minutes. and he's like, I got this virtual headset, you know, watching this Oculus Rift.
I call it virtual headset.
Yeah, bro.
Hello.
Yeah, you do. Uh-huh. But he was like talking about not having internet and how he could like the headset is basically useless without the internet or whatever. And you said, I just pictured you having to put the headset back.
Yeah, headset, lube, towel, and I'm like, oh, that's right, I forgot.
Like the music from the Incredible Hulk is just like sitting it down like this is not gonna happen.
Oh, you know what, now that I think about it, that has happened to me with a vibrator where I'm just like, okay, you know, I'm like, I don't go into the bed with my outside clothes, so like I'm in bed now, that means the right clothes are on or no clothes or whatever, the lights I turn off because why not, what do I need a light shining on me, and then everything's comfortable. And I got no batteries. The batteries have run out. And I'm like, oh, do I get up and go outside and get batteries? Or can I get over this?
It's the saddest. It is the saddest. Like, if you get like a phone call or something, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to answer that. But if you have my kind of brain, it's like, I'm not going to answer that. What if someone's dead? What if it's an emergency?
Oh, I understand call that. Back? Nobody needs me in an emergency.
I call, I pick up, and I hope it's one of these obvious phone scams because those get me off too.
Oh, yeah.
Just to fuck with them, yeah.
You owe money on your student loans. Oh, do I?
Do I? What college did I go to, Gideon?
Well, well, like, I got you
who's
here.
Who's calling you? Who's calling you? Because there's an emergency. Why do they need you, Rod?
So,
is Karen this, right there? Because it's a pandemic. Okay.
This is a very specific one, and I'm only telling y'all this because you know I need you to take this episode down later. But my mom called, and my uncle he was in the hospital like last week, right? And he's recovering, doing fine. So like she called, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna answer this. I'm gonna jack off, and I was like, I can't. I have to call back. Like, I can't in any good conscience. I can't because it's just going to be a nut that I regret. It's just going to be like I was so selfish. My uncle was dying and here I was.
Did you save your uncle?
Yeah. Luckily, he was fine when I got to talk to my mom, you know. And honestly, you can pause Big Booty Bitches 38. But it'll be there. You know what I mean? Like, why am I acting like the internet's not full of this shit? These weird, disrespectful, incestuous ass titles that are out there.
I remember
that are exactly what I want.
Right. That are never about the dude unless it's gay, right? It's never disrespectful to the dude. It's always like stupid fat bitch and right. And the dude
it's and John
fucks a guy. It's never just like this fucking idiot gets to have sex with this lady. It's never that.
Yay, this guy. She's also a stepsister slut whore
in the of course
fat dick.
That's probably why Woody Allen's been allowed to just exist, is because society's been moving towards him. It's just every porn right. title sounds like his house yeah. now,
oh.
and everyone's just fucking cool with it. It's disgusting.
Yeah. somebody says, "Oh, I watched his stepdaughter porn," and he's like, all right, 2 more years. I'm telling you,
he's gonna get an Oscar, and that's gonna be his acceptance speech. Like, you hypocrites.
Yeah.
He's gonna just pull up the stats from fucking like Pornhub. Number one, do you see what you disgusting people have been looking at? Okay, right. Well, but I'm the asshole.
Right.
All right. man, Hemda, every week you do something that cracks me the fuck up, and I think I don't even know if it's like
sarcastic. Aside. I still like it.
It's like an aside. I feel like we have this Hemda moment every time I do this show. Mm. But Lucas said COVID's been bad, but at least it killed a lot of Republicans. And it went quiet for a second, and then Hemda just goes, okay. Oh, it was so good. It was perfect.
Well, he's saying how he said that during a Zoom show and it didn't go yeah. over, but it's like, yeah, you need another sentence or two.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, that's it was bombing. And then you could tell he felt like a certain kind of shame. And him just like, no, tell us what the line is. Let's hear it. And he's just like, here we go. He tells her, and she's like, this is like a pause and a beat. And it's just like, okay, like I can see why that shit didn't work.
Right. It's like bad people man. Die and he's taking a bow.
He drops the mic.
Because I know, you know, there are some people who would follow it up with like, what? Why are people so uptight? I know he knows right. better than that. Right. So all I could say is, okay. Sure.
Man, cracks me up. Columbus Short. The dude who said Britney's parents, I guess her mom was racist or whatever.
That seems like the mom, yeah.
Yeah, called him the N-word or something. I can't remember the exact thing.
Yeah.
What's funny about that, what's ironic about that, Columbus Short beat his wife and lost his job on TV because he was on Shonda Rhimes' show. He beats his wife and Shonda Rhimes has the character just killed off, like off screen, just like, a building blew up. This motherfucker dead. Don't ask about him anymore. So that was it for his character. So it's not like he's a very sympathetic guy either. So when I read the story and it was just like Columbus Short said she called him the N-word, I'm like, I mean, it's bad. But I mean, you're not a good guy.
But do we need to hear from a good guy? I feel like, was that like crazy surprising? If Britney Spears wasn't famous And where are they from?
Louisiana.
Yeah.
And you met a nice white family from Louisiana, and they had something to say about black people.
Yeah. It's like both things are true for me. It's like, why are we asking Columbus Short in 2021 or whatever the fuck about this? And then at the same time, like, yeah, Columbus, you're right. She was racist, Columbus. You can go back to being canceled. This was not a chance to come back and be the good guy in the story. Mm-hmm. You're still a terrible piece of person.
Yeah, it's also like, that's so much hearsay. It's so far. And it's like, okay, we're talking about her father that has complete control of her. And yes, her parents probably say terrible things. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how much we learned.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, parents, one generation above us, yeah, they say all of those words.
Yeah.
All of them. You don't have to be white either. They say those words. They say those words for black people. There's some for Latino. There's like everyone has their word and they're all saying it. That's mm-hmm. why people give a pass. Like, oh, they're old. That's the way we used to say things like, saying it.
I'm sure Federline got a couple too thrown his way. But well, it's just funny because this whole documentary is like everyone's a piece of shit to Britney. And then he's like, guys, I got an anecdote. Wait till you hear this. Yeah. Like, You're a piece of shit too. Just want to throw that in there before anyone thinks like we should feel sorry for you. You're still a piece of shit.
Right.
And then the last thing before we get to the poll, the SNL protest for Michael Che's like joke.
Right. Am I missing something?
I don't know. I already told you down south, we don't really have Jewish people. We only have white people because everyone's so racist. If you get a chance to be white, just be white. I'm not even going to fucking knock you for it. I get it. It's not worth the hassle to be some, like, I got pride in my people. Okay, good luck. Hope you make it home from the game. If people are in the streets protesting SNL jokes, I feel like that's already saying things are going pretty well, right? Like, you can tell how well things are going by what the fuck people are protesting. It's like, hey, a year ago, we were protesting George Floyd and Black Lives Matter and the police. Fast forward under Biden, and I didn't like this joke. You know, I'm very upset. Like, things are not terrible for me, but I do need to get out the house and get the exercise.
I guess it sounds like very exhausting for a throwaway line. Granted, it's not the best joke. Maybe protest that they can have better, you know, writing sessions or something. Like, but whatever. Some weeks they fucking nail it, and some week it's like, who had the day off?
Maybe that's what they're. Maybe I misread it, and it's writers going on picketing.
I do want to see that protest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to see the writers protest. They're like, you need better writers. That would actually hurt a comedian more than saying your joke is offensive. If you showed up and were like, it's not offensive. It's just lazy and not funny. Mm-hmm. Totally. What do we want? Better jokes. What do we want them now? Like, and since we're talking SNL, I have to say this, guys. I have to come out of the closet. You guys said some very hurtful things about my favorite SNL person. I love Kenan. He is the best.
No, that's best. You're lying.
Karen loves him. All black people love him. Yep. All of us.
You also like Edamame? What is happening?
No, I love him. I've been waiting for SNL to do the like Kenan collection.
Where's Xerxes? Come on. Yeah. I need him in on this conversation.
I know. He hates him too. I fucking love that dude. He's so funny. He's so good.
Explain this to
me. His faces are so good. Oh,
his face is? Hold on. His face is.
Yeah,
there's one face, Trebek and you know faces. It. You know there's one face. Stop it.
No. He does multiple faces. His Steve Harvey face, when he do the Steve Harvey eyes, when he got his eyes real big, when he seen that word he couldn't pronounce. He's so good. I couldn't believe. I was so.
It's April Fool's.
I was like, this is going to be the thing.
You're lying. Come on.
No, I got to keep it honest with y'all.
Are you watching 100%. his new sitcom?
No, of course not. No.
Why?
Not
what I did.
SNL, man, is where he's
so the
best
guy at. Is so fucking good on SNL.
Yes.
You don't even want to see what the sitcom is that he stars
on. I don't watch Will Ferrell and shit. I thought Will Ferrell was great on SNL. I didn't follow him through all the movies. But he was one of the greatest SNL people. You know what I mean? Like,
so he's probably not great in a comedy. Will Ferrell's probably not great in the comedy, but he was fantastic on SNL.
Jim Carrey was great on Living Color. I haven't seen all the Jim Carrey movies, man. Like,
why would you?
Right. It's a different muscle. It's a different muscle than sketch. Sketch is his own thing. I respect it. And I think that Keenan's one of the greatest sketch people of all time, period.
But you know he can't do anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a dude in a dunk contest. That motherfucker can dunk, but then if you're like, can he play basketball? You're like, man, I won't slow down.
Yeah, I won't
he
even watch.
He can jump from the free throw line. You don't get to do that in the game. But if you move everyone off the court, he's the greatest at that. I love Keenan. Someone needed to say it. Y'all needed to hear it. Next week we're going to learn something.
No, this is like a long joke where it's over. You're going to reveal. No.
If I was joking, I'd be cracking up looking at the camera right now. And I'm not.
Isn't that fun, though, when he tells you it's funny?
I do love when he does that.
Oh, my God. When he does it.
Yeah.
Shit.
I didn't like it when Jimmy Kimmel did it, but I do like it when he does it.
Jim Fallon?
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon. Yeah, that dude.
He did it too. I hated him on it.
I didn't like it when he did it, but Keenan do it better. He got better faces.
He does have better faces. That's true.
He good, man. I know. I'm just trying to help y'all out here, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I could come on here and lie to y'all and just agree with everything y'all say and just sound, you know, like I love edamame, but I'm going to keep it real with y'all. Right.
Why isn't he in any SNL movies of the people that he works with?
When's the last time they did an SNL movie?
Come on, they did.
Like Ladies Man?
I don't know.
Like, I can't remember. Do they do those anymore? What happened to those? Stop it.
How do these people become famous? They do the movies. What's the one with the all-female, not Bachelorette, but they're getting married. Then there's another one where they're going to a wine country shit. That's SNL.
Barb and Star is brand new. Let's assume he's in that, right?
Those aren't SNL movies though. Those are movies that people from like an SNL movie to me is like Ladies Man. Like that's a character from SNL. Tim, what's his name? Does that movie?
Why is he the only one that did not turn movie star status when people like him so much? And I believe people like him a lot. Something's happening, but why is he not getting other parts and other movies and joining in? Like they're always doing something together. There's always a Tina and whatever her face is. There's always like a little crew and you'll get a bit part. You'll get a part where you scream because you actually don't know how to act, but the main guy just wants you around, Rob Schneider. So he's not any of those things.
I think everyone just knows his bag is being a sketch comedian, and that's it. Like, he's not going to make that leap to movie star because he's not one.
Comedy movies are sketch in long form. It's sketch every scene. They're just sketches. Are they asking him to write the whole thing or he can't be in it?
No, I think like live sketch silliness and short bites is just a different product. Like, I'll tell you what, if he were to do like
record it in short bites.
Yeah, nah, but a movie is different because it's like comparing like the Chappelle show to like a movie that has Dave Chappelle in it. To me, I'm like, I can see why a person would be like, I like Dave Chappelle in this sketch show where he's a different person every 10 minutes. Than this movie where he's the same guy for an hour and a half or 2 hours. Like, to me, it's a different muscle. You can be good at one and not at the other ones.
This makes no fucking sense to me. Okay. If I'm a huge Andrew Dice Clay fan, then Andrew Dice Clay has a TV show. That's not what I'm into. I'm into comedy. I'm into comedy shows, but not with my favorite stand-up because he'll just be good at stand-up. How could he do anything else?
But that's not bullshit because I like Andrew Dice Clay's stand-up, but I didn't like Ford Fairlane. I thought that shit was terrible.
Why'd you check it out even though? Of course it would be terrible. Why'd you even check it out? That's not what he does.
That's how I learned that this is how people should stay in their lane. I was like, thank God for people like Andrew Dice Clay going first. You know, when I see Tim Meadows doing the Ladies Man movie, and I'm like, this is okay. I like this better when it was 5 minutes. Stay there, you know. So shout out to Keenan for staying in his bag. All right. What was the poll?
The poll was, is Rod fucking with us? And it's a 100%, new poll, but 100%.
No.
The poll was, let's see here. Do you use any equipment to masturbate? 22% of people say yes.
Yeah, why not use it?
That feels low.
Who has the time?
But most penis havers don't really need it.
Yeah, so like 50%.
Wait a minute. Are we counting lube? I assume we're not counting lube as equipment.
The way I use it.
No, so we're not.
If you know what you're doing, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems low, but I guess you're right. I mean, yeah, that's probably about right. All right. Last week, Karen brought up men's fragrances, and how they all sound like so masculine and shit. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the deodorant aisle for men? Like, if you get the gel or whatever. They're all named like military operations.
Yes.
It's like Arctic Frost or desert Attack. I'm like, that's not a smell. Right. If anything, that sounds like it would smell horrible.
It's a lot of dudes shitting in buckets, it smells like. Yeah.
So that was funny. I use Duke Cannon soap, and that shit is, I think, ironically, I mean, let's just give them some credit, ironically very like, macho bullshit where it's like big ass bar of soap is what the soap is called. And it's like, this soap is named after beer or some shit. It's like, yeah, okay, give me the pumpkin spice. I don't need to smell good. No stressing gift giving for me. Y'all seem very stressed out about gift giving. Mm-hmm. Is it something you've always been stressed out to give gifts to? I'm a romantically, no matter who you with, or have you ever reached a point where you're like, I'm not going to stress out over this?
I'm usually excited, I think I said, unless I came off differently. I'm usually excited to give it because it's usually not on a major holiday or whatever. It's something that I've already thought about, and I just want you to have it. I know you'll be excited.
Mm-hmm. I'm the one who was nervous, but now I'm just going to give different versions of Broccoli Rob and not stress at all.
I love that idea because we're gonna make them admit the truth, Keith. I don't give a fuck how long it takes. Yeah. They're just like the day that Karen just goes the fuck off and she's like, okay, I ate it, mommy. Yeah. Are you happy? I'm like, yes, I am. Thank you. I'm on my deathbed and you finally said it. probiotics does sound like a terrible gift. So I feel like that right there should be your hint, Keith. Is stop stressing.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? Right.
Stop stressing, dude. She thought that was a good idea. Yeah. You can get that at fucking CVS way over.
She got it. She got buy one, get one free.
See?
I don't even know if I got the paid one.
And she knew it wasn't a deal breaker, which means your love is strong.
Yeah,
so you should take advantage of that, too.
You're right.
You know? Retweeting your mate on social media. Did not think this was this feels like the Instagram thing. Did not think this mattered to people as much as it apparently fucking does, man. Who knew?
You don't even think in your head, like, I'm not going to retweet this. Like, that doesn't, you just don't retweet it.
Yeah, I don't, it's not even a decision. You know,
but it is a decision. You know how to retweet.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you say you don't think about it, that's what I'm saying. It's not even a decision of, I remember the moment I scroll past it. And I said, I will not. And I kept moving.
But you still think to yourself, I will not. You don't think you think that? Because you think I will do. So you must think I will not.
That's what I'm saying. It's that small of a thing. There's not a moment that I remember being like, this is, I refuse. She earned this one. Like, it's literally, I'm scrolling and just like anybody shit I see, period, is like, oh yeah, that's good or bad. And that's it.
I think it's a sign of intelligence.
Yeah. Do you see all of your tweets? Like, are you a person that scrolls to see, make sure you caught them all? Or are you, when I'm on there, I look at a few and then I get off.
Yeah. Wait, the second one. I used to. And then I'm like, let's see if I can just, nobody does this. Let's see if I can, save some time. And then right away, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just stop when I want. And it seems to all come to me anyway. So we'll just let the algorithm do the work.
And y'all, and you check in, like you bring it up, like, hey, I noticed you didn't retweet.
No, of course not. No, I fuck her friends.
Okay, of course. Yeah. And then you eat Broccoli Rob. Yeah. What about you, do you check in? Like, Xerxes, I noticed not getting a lot of shares. What's going on, buddy?
No, because he's not on it, you know? And then it's not like he doesn't know how it works, but then he also doesn't know how it works. Mm. Does that make sense? Like, he knows how to do it. He's just not really scrolling through Twitter that much. But like I said on this show, I will be like, well, I just tweeted something. It was hilarious. Feel free to retweet.
Okay.
But yeah. And I just think, like, he's not on it enough for me to even think that he's doing any kind of math. It's just not in front of him. And then when it's in front of him, he doesn't think like and retweet it, because that's what I'm trying to get everyone else to do. He's just like, whatever. So I don't know. Mm. It's just not in our life. But if you're two comedians and you're constantly putting out jokes only and you're on there all the time and you're retweeting other people, like if he was retweeting someone else constantly, I'd be like, hey, maybe since you're on there, just check what I'm doing every once in a while, you know?
I think, you know, it might also be my blue check privilege. It might be that, because like on Twitter and shit, I'm more of a producer than a consumer, you know? So maybe I'm looking at it that way, where I'm like, I don't read what the fuck people be talking about. Y'all are here for me, you know what I mean? So maybe that's why I don't really think it's much of a decision. And then once you do have some shit go viral, it's the worst. You would think it would be like, this is what everyone wants, I'm finally getting a thing, and it's like, fuck, that's the thing. It's never what you think it's gonna be. Like, it's never the thing you thought was gonna kill them, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, this is clever as shit, they're gonna fucking love that. One sinks to the bottom. It's always the fart or fucking, you know, or like, man, I really don't like broccoli Rob, and it's that when everyone's like, well, fuck you, it's the greatest thing ever, you stupid son of a bitch. So I think I have for my own mental health, I had to take a lot of weight off of that shit. All right, and the final thing y'all did, Q&A. True Blood was good for the first couple seasons.
Of course it was.
Come on.
Kendall liked it too. We had parties around it. She liked it.
Yeah,
she
wasn't like, I will throw a party over my period.
Kendall's changing the past. Kendall's changing the past, making it like, sorry, I like parties. She was enjoying that show. She doesn't remember. Yeah. She didn't even remember seeing it. But here, she can't agree with me. She's got to form a strong opinion of not liking it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Well, she's going to write you later and make you take down the episodes where y'all have parties about it.
That's what I'm afraid of.
But yeah, it was
football parties. Now you're gonna tell me I like football?
Do you remember watching football? Do you remember that?
Hardly. I'm in and out.
Do you know it was football?
Do you like Troy Polamalu?
I remember that name. And he
has
hair.
Keith, got her.
Head and shoulders.
Thank you.
I rest my case. But it was good for the first couple seasons.
Yes.
And then it's like one day the writers woke up and was like, we don't need to try. It's a show about fucking fairies and vampires and wolves. And they were like, and then it turned into that show about fairies and vampires and wolves. It's like, oh, that's right. It's my bad. I thought this was high art and that we all were on the same page. I shouldn't be watching this tween shit. So that, I thought that was funny. I love when y'all bring up old arguments that y'all had or old topics that you had. The surgeon who did a breast implant on his own daughter.
Ew.
Yeah. And I thought, what if what happened was his wife called his bluff on it being non-sexual, right? Because all those guys are like, it's not a sex thing. I'm not attracted. I just do this for a living to, it's my job. Okay. A breast is just an organ on a body. And then she's like, okay, well, then do our daughters. Okay. He's like, well, what? That's kind of disgusting. Why would I mean, no, obviously I have no problem. I just said it's not sexual. There's nothing weird about it. Of course I'll work on our daughter's titties. I like the nurse's assistant. He's like, scalpel. They're just shaking their head like, scalpel. Go ahead. You're going to do it. Couldn't license this one out to anyone. I love impromptu secret trailers. It's always happened when Hemda can't remember an actor's name. Hemda, do you do this in real life too now? Like, because I feel like it's a game and you can take this act on the road. You know, if you're just having lunch and you're like, what's that dude's name? Okay. Impromptu secret trailers.
Lights all come right. down.
He's always in the movie. Where's the hat? Come on.
I think I do it in real life because that is really my process. And silent trailers happened because I would do this to Keith on so many shows. And he gets it. So he has like a little bit of a one up. But yeah, because if I try this with Xerxes, he's like, no, I know less than you. Just. whatever you're doing, just show me the picture when you're ready.
Yeah, it turns into a fun game because other than that, it is frustrating. Everyone has these moments, these like brain fart moments or whatever. But if you turn it into a fun little like scavenger hunt, now it's a thing. It's so brilliant. Keith took a quick shit during the show.
Okay. Right. Are you impressed?
I'm almost, I mean, and he literally afterwards blew his own horn. Literally. I was impressed because at first I was like, oh man, they're talking about, I can't even remember what you and Newsy were talking about. I was like, man, they're kind of talking about this thing a long time and Keith doesn't even feel like getting involved in this thing. That just seems like right up his alley. And then it was like, all right, we're not even going to pretend, guys. Okay. Keith took a shit and it's like, wow, look at you.
It was just too funny because, you know, we're in totally different spaces. So as soon as he takes off his headphones, he left. He slammed the door on you. He can't hear you anymore. So, but there has been times where, like, you look around, you're out of water or whatever. He didn't. He'll, like, maybe Slack me or he'll put it in the chat window in Zoom. He just left. He just
took a shit and a shower.
Yeah. Yeah. And so obviously it's an emergency and like everyone's right. Fine. But it was just I'm like, no, this is so interesting that I want everybody to know what happened. Not as a bad thing or a good thing. Like, just so you know, this is what just happened because it was amazing.
Yeah, that was up there with Baxter eating the wheel of cheese and Anchorman. That Will Ferrell movie, because he was so good on SNL, he became a star.
See?
Like that was up there with that, where I was just like, I'm not even mad. I'm impressed because I've done however many thousand episodes of this podcast, and I would have to be like, we need to shut this down for 5 minutes. I'll be right back. And Keith just like, yeah, do as you do. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
They're pros.
This will happen.
They know.
Wow. And that's why y'all are the greatest. All right. this has been last week, y'all. A lot of things are said. Okay. I talked about my uncle being in the hospital. We talked about periods, got in an argument over Kenan Thompson. And
by the way, did you enjoy Anchorman?
Yeah. That's what I was saying. He's such a great actor. He was able to like take it even further than sketch comedy. He's just a one of a kind talent.
Right.
He's probably the second best SNL person I've ever
seen. But you know, Kenan can't do that. You know,
I know Kenan ain't got it, bro. You know, I hate to, if he was my friend, I'd tell him to his face, man. It's my homie. I'd be like, bro, I promise you, you in your bag with this sketch shit. It blows up on Black Twitter. When you did the fucking Black Panther Jeopardy sketch and about the raisin the potato salad, like, bruh, is it iconic cultural moments for Black people. I can't speak.
Yes, the writing is great at everything he's in. The writing is fantastic, but he fucking blows it. You know what? You set us up. You set us up because you were like, and you know, the one guy on SNL that every Black person likes, go ahead and talk shit. Right. And we're like,
I didn't set you. I could have, because when Keith went, well, why can't he make it back? I could have been like, because of racism, you cishet white male. The patriarchy not good enough for you. But I didn't. I said, no, I'm not going to do that.
You're the one who brought up Tim Meadows and his own movie.
Yeah. Tim Meadows, another man who was good as OJ. Killed them fucking OJ sketches, but he flew too close to the sun. Tried to make them movies, and now look at him. When do we talk about Tim Meadows? Never. You got to stick to the lane, to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
Wow.
You know, hopefully the sitcom doesn't bomb, but I think he just should have stayed on SNL, man. I love that shit. Anyway. I didn't even mean to bring that back up again. It's a sore spot. And now...
Well, I like actual waterfalls. Never liked that song.
Huh. Wow. Mm-hmm. That song was woke. It was telling us about HIV and all kinds of stuff.
I thought it was corny.
And you know Left Eye is dead, right?
I know.
We can't fix this now. These are some controversial hot takes. This is worse than if you didn't like a guest. You didn't like a TLC song? Oh my God. Listen, Appiah, don't do it. Just let her cook. Okay. We know. All right. You know, a listener of the week, let's go with Maya, who responded to Karen's comments in her episode, but not mine. Not that anyone's counting mine. It's fine. It's fine. No one's worried about it. There's no insecurity over here. I enjoyed this so much. I had such a great time. Can't wait to talk to y'all in 2 weeks and email y'all to take this down. Okay. So so a lot of things were said here that, oh my God, when the lawyers find out, right? All right, we'll be back in 2 weeks, y'all. Until then, peace.